Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, where I'm telling you people, I just use one device. I got one cell phone right here. It's all I need. It's all I can keep up with to make it simple on me. Now, I just got a text from Vladimir Putin wishing me a good day. So I don't know if this is being monitored by outside sources. But anyway, good morning and welcome to the program, Today's Issues. Ed Battagliano is back in the saddle. Welcome back, Ed.
Hey, thank you. By the way, I heard while I was in Pennsylvania preaching a revival for a group of churches filled, for the most part, with AFR listeners. First night there, I said, how many listen to AFR? And there were a bunch of folks raised their hands. But they said, you, Tim, and JJ insisted on countless times you didn't know where I was. JJ said, I think he's – what casino is that at?
JJ said that about you?
Said that.
I would have defended your honor. I just want you to know that.
What casino is that at today?
No. And Abraham Hamilton III, a.k.a. Abe, is in studio. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ed. Good to have you
good
back.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
Well, we got – give us a preview, Ed, of what we're going to be talking about today, sir.
Yeah, we're going to have Fred Jackson here just a little bit to talk about, I don't know. You know, by the way, I was shocked, I tell you, about this, the way this Clinton thing worked itself out. I fully expected the law to be followed and there to be charged.
Right. Very disappointing.
Just shocked. Anyway, we'll be talking about that. Bottom of the hour, Terry Law, James Gilbert on. They've written a book, Unmasking ISIS, Defeating the Terrorists Who Want to Destroy the World. My goodness, they are killing people left and right. 350 people they've killed over Ramadan. And then next hour, Alex McFarland. We're going to try to get through question number 17 today. We won't. The 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity. We don't. Hey, Alex, we want to talk about your book, but first.
Right, but first, let's spend 20 minutes not talking about your book, and then we'll give you 1 minute. Should we get to the question to ask Alex that he covers in his book? I don't know what question we're up to now. Do you know?
Well, we're up to question number 17, and that...
Well, we have accomplished something then.
We have.
16 times.
Question number 17 is, this guy at school says the Bible contradicts itself. Is that true?
Okay.
People probably get Alex that question a lot.
Alex answers that question in the book and on the DVD.
And if we wanted to, we could get him to answer it today.
We'll ask. We're going to try to get to that question.
Yeah.
Because that is a good question.
It is.
A lot of people accuse, the Bible says this here and it says that over there.
It contradicts,
therefore, it can't be true or it contradicts itself.
Right.
We will ask Alex about that question. It's a very good question. And should a person ask you that, including a child, how should we answer it? All right. So, Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com, will be over in just a few minutes to talk more about the big story from yesterday. But, Abe, we were on the air yesterday. Ed wasn't with us, and we were trying to watch the press conference. And we just told people who were listening on the radio, we're trying to watch TV while we're talking to you. And so we're not responsible for what we say or if there's a five-second silence.
Right.
We're watching TV while we're trying to do it.
Because we didn't intend for it to be silent.
No.
We had no intent.
No, we did. But no, we had no intent. But we're watching the news because at the same time we go on the air, James Comey, the director of the FBI, comes on and gives the lowdown on the investigation with Hillary Clinton and her private email server.
A lowdown on the lowdown.
Yes. Oh, what? So yesterday, basically what he did yesterday, the FBI director, was he excoriated her, and then
careless.
Yeah, careless. What did he say?
For being careless and reckless. But in the process, he also highlighted that pretty much everything she said about the email situation was a lie.
Wow.
Right.
So he.
Have you heard that montage that Both Fox and CNN did.
I have.
It's a montage of her saying, you know, things that she did or didn't do over the last year. Do you have that, Brent? You have, and then it's James Comey just saying the complete opposite. Who's the FBI director?
That's right.
I don't know if you have that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I just got to say, I am. It kind of makes me sleep better at night, knowing. By the way, sarcasm alert. Knowing that the federal government, as long as you say, "Look, I didn't intend to break any laws," you're golden with the federal government. You know, the FBI comes and you say, "Look, you know, I didn't really mean it. Maybe I was a little careless, a little reckless," as you pointed out, Abe. Mm-hmm. "But the good thing is I didn't intend to do anything wrong in my heart of hearts." And the federal government, you know, says, well, then in that case, no charges will be fired. Isn't that the way it works for the rest of us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abe, what about that? let me give you two examples of why this doesn't work, what you're talking about, Ed. And then, Abe, I'd like you to comment on this as a former prosecutor yourself. What James Comey, the FBI director, did, what he's getting criticized for, is just what Ed said. He let off Hillary Clinton. He basically laid out the case that she's guilty of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, not going to charge her because, bless her heart, she didn't mean to. That's me. He didn't say bless her heart. But let me give you two examples of why what he's arguing as her defense does not hold up. You get a drunk driver who kills a family. All right? When he goes to appear before the judge doesn't say, "Well, I know you didn't mean to."
Right.
"I know you didn't mean to, so, you know, you didn't mean to hurt anybody. So go on home and just
go on with your life.
Go on with your life and know that you made a mistake and don't do it again." No. The person was negligent or reckless, I guess I should say. Another example I heard last night was if a person leaves a child in the car.
Right.
And the child dies because it suffocates in the heat. They don't let the person off who off the hook, do they, Abe?
No.
Because you say, "Well, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to." Well, yeah, you didn't mean to, and we could all sympathize with forgetting or something, but you're still held responsible.
Absolutely right.
Legally, because right?
You're legally responsible because, first of all, James Comey's reference to intentionally, you know, aiding the enemy and things like that, that wasn't even the particular crime that she was being investigated under. So that was a manufactured straw man. The reality is that her, as he described, reckless handling of this classified and even top secret information is by the clear black letter of the law, violations of the law. And as you stated, Tim, in either of those scenarios, there is not one judge or prosecutor, for that matter, who will stop and say, "Oh, okay, because you didn't intend for your child to suffer that harm when you left him in that car, or because you didn't intend when you left that institute of ill repute with alcohol that you didn't intend to cause a crash that will let you off." No, because the issue is not the result of the conduct. The issue is the conduct itself.
Right.
She intentionally used a private email.
Right.
Intentionally put a private server in her house. In violation of the law, she intentionally, in direct contradiction to what she said, disseminated classified material, including top secret level information that's even classified higher than just classified. So those are, by the letter of the law, violations of the law, which James Comey said. And then he excused her by saying, but we don't think she intentionally meant to harm the country as a result. That's not the issue, Bubba. The issue is, when you do it, you put the country at risk.
Right. And in this case, with Secretary Clinton, when we had that montage, and then we get to Fred, what he didn't address, I don't think, you have to keep in mind, people, that the whole reason that Hillary Clinton set up the server at her home was to circumvent the law, to keep people. She didn't want to be. She's Secretary of State. She's a cabinet level position. She's an employee of the federal government. There are laws and regulations that she has to follow in that role because she's working for the people. So you're the meetings that you have, the things that you do, those things are recorded for the record. And and in fact, your records at State Department are supposed to be kept so that, you know, and archived. Right. Well, the reason she set up this server in the first place at her home, as I said, was to intentionally circumvent the law so that she wouldn't be held accountable for what she said and did. She was going to play by her own rules.
Right.
And what has happened here, I think, not to get too lost in the weeds here, but I think what happened was this was a judicial watch, which is a private organization. This had to do, the reason this was all found out in the first place was the Benghazi hearings, which is a whole different story, but that's the reason her emails were found.
Yeah, because they filed a Freedom of Information request,
right,
a FOIA
with the
request.
State Department.
And so what? Unless something is top secret, the government is expected to turn those over. We have a right to know. But you can only make that request of the government. I can't come to you, Tim, and say, I'm going to file a Freedom of Information request,
right,
to find out what's on your personal email, because that's not what where the law applies. So what you're saying, and I think is exactly right, is Hillary Clinton did not want to be subject to those kinds of,
right,
searches. So she says, it's on my private email server. Nobody has a right to look at it. But she was conducting government business on her private email server. This thing is so crooked.
She should back out. I know you're laughing. No, Joe Biden, if they want to, whoever they want to put in, Joe Biden would be probably their best candidate to put in. Again, I know I'm talking. This is bad. This is irreputable. Is that the right word?
Irreparable
is the word I'm looking at. To me, for an independent voter, now they may not vote for Donald Trump, but you can't vote. You cannot vote for someone who is not. She wants to be commander in chief, and if she were still at the State Department, she would be now denied access to top secret material.
Right.
You see the irony here?
Yeah.
The irony. It's more than an irony. Fred Jackson joining us, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. What's going on, Fred?
Well, I need to tell you that there's at least one American who is going to be voting for Hillary Clinton, and that's President Barack Obama, because he told a crowd of Democrats yesterday in North Carolina, nobody in history has been more qualified to be president of the United States than Hillary Clinton. Now, this is within hours after James Comey telling the nation
that she's a liar.
Well, and not only that, but the fact of the matter is the president had set up this data campaign with Hillary Clinton. Well, gee, how did he know what the FBI was going to decide?
Yeah. Rudy Giuliani was on Fox this morning saying, of course, he worked for the Reagan administration, worked with presidents. He says there is no way they would have planned this get-together in North Carolina, including Mrs. Clinton flying down on Air Force One,
right,
to Charlotte. There is no way they could have put that together in the wake of the Comey announcement.
Right.
In other words, this was all planned out somewhere along the way this past weekend. The fix was
right
in.
After, right, Bill Clinton met with the Attorney General.
Bumped into her.
Ding, 30
ding,
minutes.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. We have a winner.
Just unbelievable.
Bumped into her.
This whole thing just smells to high heaven.
It's
Bill Clinton gets
stinks
on the plane, just happens to bump into the Attorney General and goes in on her plane and spends 30 minutes talking to her when he's a possible target in an investigation. Barack Obama gets Hillary to go on Air Force One with him to North Carolina for a campaign rally. At the same time, James Comey's speaking. When James Comey, the FBI director, said, nobody knows what I'm about to say. That's laughable now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure he didn't call over there and say, hey, I'm about to let your girl off the hook. but I bet he.
He may have emailed
somebody.
It.
Somebody from the State Department, excuse me, somebody from the FBI tipped off the White House so that they knew.
The president doesn't plan to campaign with Hillary Clinton not knowing if she's going to be indicted.
Right. The that optics doesn't of happen. That.
Yeah.
Also, I want to know why do you think, Abe, ask you this question. Why do you think that President Obama, folks, I know sometimes we ask questions that are what called rhetorical. So you might go, Tim, you're so dumb, you don't even know that. You have to ask somebody that question, really? No, I ask it because I want to get, again, you served as a former prosecutor, but also I want to ask somebody an obvious question, but to get an answer for it. Why do you think that President Obama a year ago went on national television and cleared Hillary Clinton of any wrongdoing before the investigation had even matured? You know what I mean?
Because he knew that in order for anything to happen with an investigation, it would have to come from him. He would have to okay any go-ahead to prosecute Hillary Clinton for anything. So if you're the big chief who has the final say-so, well, you can just say so. Nothing's going to happen to her.
But because you remember a year ago, he's on 60 Minutes, President Obama, mm-hmm. and he's saying there's nothing here that she's done to, put national security at risk. And now, as it turns out, as somebody said, is President Obama going to give us an update on that? Because now, as it turns out, according to James Comey, the director of the FBI, she did, in fact, put national security
right.
Don't risk. Hold your breath on that update.
Okay, he's not going to give us.
Yeah, don't wait for that.
Well, the development this morning is the House Republicans have put together a hearing for tomorrow. James Comey is going mm-hmm. to be sworn in
mm-hmm.
to a hearing with the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. And the Republicans say, we want to know how you came to the conclusion, given everything you gave us yesterday, that Hillary Clinton should not be right. You didn't recommend charges.
Yeah, and that's going to be a hot ticket now because that's going to be quite a hearing.
This is under oath.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, James Comey is going to
Does he have to do that?
Oh, yes. Well,
Lois Lerner pleaded the fifth. That's why I asked.
Well, this is the other thing. Is he going to plead? Is the FBI director going to plead the fifth tomorrow so he doesn't have to reveal his reasoning in this?
Well, I don't know that you
this is plead. Gonna, this would be a great John Grisham novel
now,
right here.
Now, Lois Lerner pled the fifth because she could have fallen under prosecution herself for
right.
the abuse of power. Then we're talking about the director of the Department of the Internal Revenue Service that mm-hmm. Had been using the power, allegedly mm-hmm. using the power of her office to go after conservative groups.
Yes.
She went before Congress. She pled the Fifth Amendment, but I think that's because abuse of power she could be charged on.
That's right.
The FBI director, what would he plead the Fifth over?
Well, he made the statement, nobody knows what I'm going to say. Remember he opened up his news conference yesterday?
But
nobody knows. There's no government department knows.
Yeah, but you couldn't be prosecuted if you lied about that.
The difference,
right?
If he lied about that, he wasn't under oath. So it's nothing perjurious or no perjury, no criminal offenses that could. The trigger for the Fifth Amendment protection, the privilege against self-incrimination, is that you could be prosecuted criminally.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't see any basis.
So I guess – well, maybe not the Fifth Amendment, but mm-hmm. how about something like this, Mr. Chairman? I'm going to respectfully decline to answer that question.
Well, he could do that.
He could do that
because it's sensitive information that I don't think
could destroy Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Right.
Well, if he's,
I'm just saying that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's going to be
if he's asked a direct question though.
Yeah,
by a committee member, the chairman of that committee.
Oh, they're going to ask him direct questions.
Jason Chaffetz. He's a pretty tough guy.
Yep.
He's been interviewed a couple of times in the last 24 hours.
Let me throw this out there to see what you guys think about this. Because it appears to me, and I thought about this all night last night, if James Comey is going to announce that the FBI is not going to pursue charges, why call a press conference to do that? Why not, just send a letter
or
a press release or something and agree to take questions off camera? I think it's possible that James Comey's hands were tied from the top, that he knew that I'm not going to be able to do this, but to throw enough information out there to serve to politically derail Hillary Clinton.
Right.
To provide the opportunity for Republicans to do this, you know, press conference, to do this, you know,
so
hearing.
So you think tomorrow in the hearing, because you know he's going to be asked tough, pointed questions, someone's going to ask him, were you ever pressured to blah, 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 blah,
so.
Blah, and then James Comey goes, yes.
No, but he's going to say
I don't
say
know if he says
no,
yes.
No, he's going to say no because yesterday he said this was an independent.
Yeah.
That's what he emphasized that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he could say, listen, we just didn't think there was enough to take this to, you know, to prosecution. But yes, I was consistently pressured politically. I came to my own conclusion, but the pressure was there. I don't know.
And I'm just throwing it around. I can't say I'm committed to this as a theory, but.
Well, it's indefensible. What is he going to say when he's in front of this hearing? What is he going to say? As you said, Abe, Hillary Clinton broke the law.
Broke the law.
She was the Secretary of State. Don't tell me they aren't told over and over and over again what the guidelines are for sensitive, classified, top secret information. She knew, but as you said, Tim, the Clintons don't play by the rules.
Right.
Laws are for little people.
Right, right.
What if he says, I knew that there was not the prosecutorial will at the DOJ to follow through with any
Democratic,
recommendations?
Hey, no, that could be Democratic prosecutors. They want a job.
Well, that would
the next
be a professional. That would be an answer.
He could say it this way. After reviewing the case, the facts, the evidence, as well as the will to prosecute or the state of the country, anything like that, and put them all together in the pot, it appears that the best decision would be to refrain from pursuing an indictment. I mean, because that would further implicate, you know, I know I'm way out here now, but that could further implicate that, hey, look, there's facts, there's evidence, and then there's a whole other thing involved in the decision whether or not to
pursue how does this, regardless of how this, you know, plays out, you know, whether she's indicted or not, does this hurt her politically with the swing voters?
That's the huge question. Abe and I were talking in the parking lot this morning. Normally, you would think this has to.
20 years ago, whoever this candidate would be, Republican or Democrat, their career's over.
Yeah, and here's the thing: we discussed this at our story meeting a few moments ago in the newsroom. Where are we with the minds of the American people when it comes to ethics? Does it matter? Does it matter?
I guess we're
going to
find out.
We're going to find out. We are going to find out.
Well, you should probably find out in the polling in the next couple of days.
I think this still hurts her. Obviously, if she was
in. You mean with the independent voters?
With the independent voter. There's no telling because we don't know what the fallout would be.
Wait till these 30-second ads come.
Oh, that's what I think is going to just pound away. Yeah. I think the independent voter looks at this, and I think it makes them hate government even more. And I think it makes them distrust Hillary maybe even more because it looks like the fix is in. If she's indicted and then it looks like the Republicans are just using this for political reasons to go after her, you know, because I don't think most people understand what she did wrong. They say, well, maybe she should have, you know, but I don't really understand it. This way it looks like the fix is in. I don't know if it hurts her more, but I don't think she gets away scot-free.
No, you do have a certain percentage, I don't know, 20, 25, 30% of people who are independent voters don't necessarily vote Republican or Democrat. We're going to come back after the break. We get a couple more minutes of commentary, and then we're going to talk
about ISIS.
Yeah, it's only going to get better here.
Happy hump day.
Yeah, the cheerfulness of the topics.
Can we do a trivia Friday?
I know.
Can we do trivia Wednesday?
Right, trivia Wednesday. We will be back after this short time out. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll let Kirby Anderson of Point of View fire away at current events of the day.
11 of the 12 richest counties in America are located in the Washington, D.C. metro area. It is not only rich, but it's also out of touch. Moving the Department of Homeland Security to another state would cost less.
We'll also talk with actor Kirk Cameron about our presidential candidates. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR, and online at AFR.net.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we'll visit on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon is the United States Marine Corps Memorial, also known as the Iwo Jima Memorial, built in 1954 and the largest bronze statue in the world. Stephen McDowell, who's the president of the Providence Foundation, a historian, will join us all along the way, answer questions, talk about the people, the places, and the events in our nation's capital, and then on to Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. In addition, we'll go to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown for those who want to join us for this separate trip, which just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour. For all the information on either of these tours, just visit us on the website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, this is in September. Go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. The Fort Des Moines Church of Christ has filed a federal lawsuit against the Iowa Civil Rights Commission. They contend the government's trying to censor the church's teachings on biblical sexuality and forcing them to open bathrooms to transgender people. I first alerted you to this story yesterday. A separate church has filed a complaint with the Civil Rights Commission alleging similar accusations. At issue is a directive that indicates churches who have daycare centers and churches that welcome the public to their worship services must comply with public accommodation laws. Attorneys for both congregations say that means pastors could face penalties for preaching against homosexuality, and they would not be allowed to restrict bathroom access to transgender visitors. Every pastor in America should pay heed to what's happening in the Hawkeye State, because your church could be next. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I know some of you aren't all up into politics, as they say, but this was the big story yesterday having to do with the presidential election, that is Hillary Clinton. The investigation that the FBI conducted of her. And we have a montage now that we getting this from CNN or Fox News. Do you know where? CNN. Okay. And what you're going to hear, it's probably over the last year, but it's Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, making claims about her email server and what she did or didn't do. And then you will hear juxtaposed in that comments from yesterday's press conference given by James Comey, the director of the FBI, and you will see the numerous contradictions, some would say lies. But let's listen to this.
Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
Everything I did was permitted by law and regulation. I had one device.
Secretary Clinton used several different servers, and she also used numerous mobile devices to send and to read email on that personal domain.
I used a single account for convenience. Obviously, these years later, it doesn't look so convenient.
My use of personal email was allowed by the State Department.
None of these emails should have been on any kind of unclassified system.
And I never sent nor received any information that was classified at the time it was sent and received. I never sent classified material on my email, and I never received any that was marked classified.
110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received.
What, like with a cloth or something? Well, no.
the email software was removed. That didn't remove the email content. The effect was that millions of email fragments ended up in the server's unused or slack space.
I didn't have to turn over anything. I chose to turn over 55,000 pages of my emails.
This helped us recover work-related emails that were not among the 30,000 that were produced to state.
I'm sorry, I've taken responsibility.
Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
Well, there you go. That's James Comey and Hillary Clinton back and forth. What about his comment, Abe, that no reasonable prosecutor would take this case?
I think Director Comey knows that that's not a true statement. Any prosecutor who has a combination of facts, evidence, and the black letter law on their side, and an opportunity to ensure the public trust in government by taking out corrupt government officials,
right,
would jump at the opportunity to prosecute that kind of case. Yeah. I mean,
what do you think about that?
Well, I don't know what's in his mind. We can only speculate.
I guess we'll know more tomorrow. He's supposed to appear before Congress.
I think these kinds of very pointed, intense questions, and he's not going to be able to squirrel his way out with at least the Republicans on that committee. Because like Abe said, when you go through, I have in front of me Associated Press, not exactly a conservative
right.
news outlet. It says key assertions by Hillary Clinton in defense of her email practices have collapsed under FBI scrutiny. And it goes just like we just heard on that montage. I have in front of me the Clinton claims from Hillary Clinton and the facts. They all contradict. The letter of the law is clear. You are responsible to know the law if you work for the State Department, especially if you're the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
You are responsible to know what the law is and to follow it.
She did.
And it seems clearly to me she knew it.
Yeah.
She didn't want, she wanted, whether this has something to do with the Clinton Foundation and,
right.
and deals behind
well, that's
the scenes,
a good point.
Could, you know, she did not want anyone to be able to file a FOIA request and gain access to what she was doing in an official capacity. And this is corruption on a huge scale. This is not partisan because what Richard Nixon did was wrong. He was a Republican.
This is worse because it put national secrets at risk.
And don't forget, it ended up with four dead Americans.
Yes.
Under her watch.
Benghazi.
Yeah. What Richard Nixon did was they had a burglary at the Democrat headquarters at
right.
Watergate.
Mm-hmm. And he covered it up.
Yeah. Yeah, he covered it up. Wasn't a big crime. I mean really wasn't.
It was corrupt.
It was a cover up.
What I'm saying is, if it's corrupt, if people break the law, they should be punished.
That's
whether
right.
it's
like
Republican
he was, like
or
Nixon
Democrat.
Was. Yeah.
He was forced to resign primarily by the Republican leadership. They said, look, you're going to take the whole party down with you.
Right.
And the fact that this does not take the Democratic Party down and that the leaders of the Democratic Party let this go on is on them. It's a shame.
Yeah. Well, they have no shame. That's the
right.
problem. And Republicans aren't, you know, always pure as the driven snow
right.
either. But I will say this, there is at least some, I would say that I don't think you could get away with this on the Republican side is what I'm saying. I think if you had a Republican candidate who did this, they would be forced to resign by their own party. I really believe that. Still, I really believe that. Now with the Democrats, this kind of thing, I don't know that you can do anything to bring where they would be shamed. I mean, this is a party that booed God at their convention
in 2012,
and they don't seem to care about these kinds of things.
It's the exact opposite, to be frank. Yeah. They cheer these kinds of things. The ends are justified.
The ends justify the means.
So, man, if you can get over with that. More power to you.
Right.
You know?
Well, I'm saying I think yesterday's Democrat Party or Republican Party would have called on their nominee to withdraw under this cloud, under these circumstances, because they disqualified themselves. I mean, my word, come on, man. If you can't even if you're not even eligible to receive top secret or classified information anymore because of what you've done here, and you want to be the commander-in-chief, do you see the irony
right
in this? But anyway, so I think
if they had shame, they would have.
They don't have shame.
They would have done this a long time ago.
They don't have shame.
They would
shame.
Have gone to Hillary Clinton and said, you do yeah. not have the support of the Democratic leadership.
Right.
This smells to high heaven. The FBI is investigating.
Right.
You could be in the middle of, you know, the convention, and they decide to indict you. We're asking you to step aside.
Yeah.
I mean, this
that's
is.
What should have, that's what should have been done.
And Joe Biden should be their candidate.
And Joe, yeah.
To me, Joe Biden has a better chance of winning than Hillary Clinton. I'm no Joe Biden fan. I'm just telling you, he doesn't have all that baggage.
That's true.
Now that, right. that she has. And she's dishonored herself and her family. Imagine. And I'll say a lot more about that. But I'm serious. This is a gravely serious issue. You have somebody who's a leading candidate for president who intentionally circumvented the law because she thought she was above it.
Right.
And that's what James Comey, the director of the FBI, said yesterday.
So the Drudge headline says laws are for little people. And that
sums it up.
That's the way it looks. And more and more, I think what you have is people on conservative and liberal who are looking and saying the system is rigged, and the system is rigged in favor of, you know, the lobbyists and the political fat cats and the political establishment and the people who make a lot of money. You know, they're the ones who get the benefit of the laws. And if you're just a regular person and you do what Hillary Clinton did, you're going to federal prison.
That's right.
Well, that's what would have happened. I mean, that's what's happened to other people. The five or six people I saw yesterday on the news who have done similar things to Hillary Clinton, that is.
General Petraeus?
Among others.
Right.
Who sent out top secret or classified information on an unsecured server, and they were disciplined.
Yeah.
In some way or another, one of them had to go to jail for a while. This isn't a regular occurrence, obviously. But I guess this all goes back to the day Hillary Clinton said, I want my own private server in the bathroom closet
of my New York home.
At my house, and I'll do the business of the United States of America there because I'm Hillary Clinton,
yeah.
and I'll do what the heck I want to.
And this is a sad day for America because the thing – it's easy to get lost on this, but our country is the longest standing republic under one form of government ever.
Right.
And the thing that distinguishes us, amongst other details, is the fact that we submit ourselves to the rule of law. But when we have the scales being unbalanced, which is why I think the Lord in the scripture says he hates unjust scales.
Right.
That it literally thwarts the rule of law. And so it sets the precipice for.
But if you can get away with this, if you can get away with this and be elected president, that says more about the American people than anything else.
Right.
And time will tell. We'll see how this impacts the election. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Abe. You want to welcome our guest now?
Absolutely. I want to welcome Terry Law, who's founder of World Compassion, and James Gilbert. Together, they co-founded the Storm Chaser Foundation, and together they co-authored the book we're going to be discussing with them, Unmasking ISIS, Defeating the Terrorists Who Want to Destroy the World. Terry and James, welcome to Today's Issues.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to be with you, gentlemen.
All right, so we got five voices that our listening audience is going to be hearing. So we'll try to make this. You guys don't have to worry about who's talking to you. We'll just make sure our folks know who is speaking. Terry, let me start with you. Over the this past weekend, looking at a story from the Associated Press, Ramadan deaths reach 350. This is a devastation that is a plague that has come upon mankind. I don't know how else to describe this. I mean, I'm talking about ISIS. Their violence seems to know no stopping place. But some are saying this is a sign of weakness rather than a sign of strength. Terry, who's right? Are these guys getting stronger or are they getting weaker?
Uh,
Well, it's a double-barreled proposition here, guys. ISIS is being defeated in Iraq. Fallujah fell a few weeks, months ago. They are preparing for war in Mosul. So the actual caliphate itself is shrinking, but at the same time, most of their warriors are going underground and causing things like Paris and Brussels and what we've been watching in Orlando and places like that. We are seeing the lone wolf mentality that they are doing everything they can to cultivate through their media communication, etc. And they are slick and savvy in the media and in finding lone wolves in situations around the world that are totally surprising to the rest of us.
Hi, this is Abe here. I have a question that I'm sure some of our listeners may have. How does ISIS differ, if at all, from Al-Qaeda and the other jihadist groups around the world?
Jim, why don't you answer that?
Well, ISIS grew out of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was weakened considerably even before bin Laden was killed. And bin Laden's main surrogate, Zawahiri, was really leading because bin Laden was in hiding. The leader of ISIS was the leader of what was called Al-Qaeda in Iraq, he decided to go to Syria and form an extra branch of Al-Qaeda there, and then he took over a group that was there. They didn't want to be taken over, but he succeeded. And once he had combined the group from Iraq and from Syria, then he proclaimed, it was April of 2013, he proclaimed the Islamic State in Iraq and al-Sham, which is a word that encompasses a greater area than just Syria. So they got started out of al-Qaeda, but their methods were so much more vile than even al-Qaeda. They were so much more barbaric than even al-Qaeda that eventually al-Qaeda disavowed them.
What?
So they're the worst of the worst.
Al-Qaeda has their standards?
Yeah, I know that sounds ridiculous, but they were so vile. Al-Qaeda was more calculated. When they would do barbaric things, they were more calculated in them. And ISIS just seems to go for the most savage possible effect that they can achieve, because their goals are what we would say is more theological than political.
Yeah,
they really want to establish their worldwide caliphate and precipitate the end of the world as we know it.
Terry Law joining us, and James Gilbert.
In our book, Unmasking ISIS, was the fact that ISIS is here. I heard on television last night one of the commentators say that the FBI and CIA are dealing with 800 ISIS cases in the United States in all 50 states. So they're here.
We're talking to Terry Law and James Gilbert. The two gentlemen have co-authored a fascinating new book called Unmasking ISIS, Defeating the Terrorists Who Want to Destroy the World. ISIS stands for, Jim, what does ISIS stand for?
Well, you know, it stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham. You know, now President Obama says ISIL, which is Islamic State, and the Levant. The Levant just means the direction from which the sun rises. In other words, they control, as far as they're concerned, their caliphate extends to where the sun rises, which would include Iran. So they go by a couple of different names. We know them best as ISIS.
What? There's so much to talk about here. You know, first I heard most Americans remember hearing about ISIS was a couple of years ago, and they were sort of developing are making some noise in Iraq.
That's back when they were just the JV team.
Well, that's what, yeah, and the president, President Obama, was asked about the rise of ISIS in Iraq and in Syria, and he referred to them as the JV team.
Specifically to Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda's right. JV team.
So basically telling Americans, don't worry about it.
Right.
These people are just gnats. They're not going to do us, they're not going to be able to do much harm. How did they, Terry, were they ever the JV team? I guess they had to be at some time, but how did they explode to be where they're attracting these people from around the world to come and fight with them there in and to try to expand the caliphate?
The man most responsible for ISIS going forward was Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. When I was doing a conference in northern Iraq, we had about 800 Muslims who had converted Christianity in a conference, and it was reported by all four Arab networks, including Al Jazeera. And when I was on the program, Zarqawi saw the show and put a hit on my life. And when I tried to get out of Erbil, where the conference was held, down into Baghdad, they had posted soldiers on the road to get me. They had to take me out of the country another way. But in that process, I learned about the violence of al-Zarqawi. And he was the man, essentially an Iraqi al-Qaeda Confederate, knew Osama bin Laden, et cetera, et cetera. But he wanted to do violence. He went crazy in terms of what he did publicly, and he was the one that introduced the violent television that we are watching now. So Zarqawi is really the man who started it all. And we cataloged this in the book. We try to give people an outline on the history of ISIS, where it came from, why they're angry at America. There's a lot of things in the book that we bring forward, including our own inactivity or our own inability to do something about ISIS. ISIS is not a big, in a sense, it's a boogeyman, guys. It's not that big. They don't have that many people. If we made up our mind to take care of the caliphate in Iraq and Syria, we could probably do it in a few weeks or months. That's not the problem. The problem is the ideology and the violence and the killing and their use of television. Jim, talk a little bit about about how they use the internet.
Well, they've been much more savvy than the West ever was prepared with regard to the way they use the internet. They have thousands and thousands of Twitter accounts, and every time Twitter shuts them down, they'll open another one. They're on all the major social media platforms, and they've even written their own app, their own smartphone app, for their own secure communications with one another. They've used the internet to recruit like crazy. With young women, they'll recruit them almost the way you'd imagine Aladdin and the Magic Carpet. Oh, we're building a paradise. The West is lying about us, and it's going to be wonderful if you'll come here. You'll be part of you'll be the bride of a warrior, and you'll be taking care of children, et cetera, et cetera. With young men, they use the themes of injustice as well as the promises of what they call Jinnah, which is heaven, and essentially. What they promise is that if you die in battle, in the next moment you wake up in paradise, and everything that was a sin on earth will be a reward in heaven. So it'll be feasting and sexual appetite, always satisfied, never sated. So you'll have this eternal. I don't want to use the kind of language that they promised, but it's a lot more than 72 virgins, as we so often hear derisively. So they really are effective in the way they reach out on the internet, and the West was really slow to pick up on them. You know, they may have been a JV team at one point, Tim, but the fact is that if the big boys don't show up to play, even a JV team can win. by default. And for a long time, that's what they were doing.
Our guests are Terry Law and James Gilbert, who have written the co-written the book, Unmasking ISIS, Defeating the Terrorists Who Want to Destroy the World. Terry, we're running low on time here. What is the end game for ISIS? What is it that they want? What would make them stop killing? What would make them believe that they are victorious and the day is won?
It's all tied up in their eschatology, if I can use that fancy theological term. It's what they believe about the last days. They have been told, and they have discerned through the writings of the Quran and other things that Muhammad has said, that essentially the end of the world is coming, and they are going to be the ones to precipitate it. They believe that America should be enticed into battle, and if they can get America to face them in their caliphate in the Middle East, that Jesus will show up as not a Christian savior, but as a Muslim prophet, and he will give power to the Mahdi, an Antichrist figure that they see eschatologically, and that they will actually put an end to the world, and all Christian nations, all people on the planet, will be under the thumb of Islam, and they will rule forever and ever. That's what they believe.
Well, that's it's kind of odd, and we are out of time. It's kind of odd, though, that, you know, Christians and apparently these radical Muslims, I don't know who else in the Islamic world believes the end is near, but it's odd that both religions see, you know, this all coming to a head. We just see the end so differently. So it's odd that they believe that the world is coming to an end. They're trying to precipitate it.
What's the title of the book? Where to get it, guys?
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
What's the name of the book and where to get it? Can you tell us that?
Unmasking ISIS, Defeating the Terrorists Who Want to Destroy the World. It's available on Amazon, both in hard copy and in a Kindle ebook.
And
it's also available, guys, through ordering through you with a coupon code AMFAM, AMFAM, to get free shipping on the book. The book's $15. And free shipping if they tie into your code on the internet.
On what?
Our store.
Oh.
Yep.
So give that again, Ed. You know.
Well, if you, AMFAM is the code to get free shipping for the book. So when you go to afastore.net, Unmasking ISIS is the name of the book. AMFAM gets you free shipping. Terry Law and James Gilbert have been our guests. Guys, you both started the Storm Chaser Foundation. Is there a website for that, and what can people find on it?
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, folks can go to stormchaser.org see that we're basically what the rest of the world seems to want to flee. We believe spiritually that there's great opportunity in that, and you can run towards it. So,
no, you can.
And you guys do. Yeah. Hey, guys, thank you so much for being on today's issues. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good with you guys.
Terry Law and James Gilbert. The book is Unmasking ISIS, Defeating the Terrorists Who Want to Destroy the World.
That's a good sermon right there.
Run to the battle.
Run to the battle. Terry Law and James Gilbert, we appreciate them being on with us. We're going to take a break for news, 5 minutes of news, and then more with Ed, Abe, and Tim. You have a one-syllable name you can listen to to this program.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.